Okay, the boys. Today's daf is daf chavav. We're holding the second line from the top of the Amud. And as you recall, in yesterday's Mishnah, we spoke about the inyan of oiskim the mitzvah peturim min hamitzvah. And that's the reason why, if a person is a shliach mitzvah, he does not have to go into the sukkah during sukkahs. If he is able to, of course, he is supposed to. But if he's not, because of an irreconcilable conflict, then the halacha is, if he's osik in another mitzvah, he is exempt from going into the sukkah. And we spoke at the end of yesterday's daf about the inyan of a chosin and the shushbinin, and now we continue talking about further examples in that same vein. It's Tanya, Omer B'chananya ben Akavya, third line from the top of Chof Vov Omer Aleph. Koyisvei svarim tefillin umezuzois. Those people that are suffering, that they write Sefer Torah, they're writing Tefillin, they're writing Mezuzos. Hain, they, the Tagrein, and their merchants, the Tagre Tagrein, and their merchants' merchants. V'cholo oiskim amlecha shemoyim, anybody that is osek in melecha shemoyim, la'asiyim moichre tcheles, those people that sell tzitzis, beturim mekriyishma, umenatvila, umenatvilin, umikom mitzis, amuris ba'toyram. What is this Braisa telling us? The Braisa is expanding upon the halacha that we spoke about until now. Till now we're talking about that the person himself is being osek b'mitzvah, and therefore he's potter in a mitzvah if he has a conflict. What our Braisa is telling us is, even those people that they themselves are not being osek b'mitzvah, but they are allowing for other people to be osek b'mitzvah, such as a person who is writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, he presumably has time to do all the mitzvahs. However, he has to go and supply other people with Svarim and Tefillin and Mezuzos, and that is a very great need for all of Klal Yisrael. So, Gadol Hama'asa Yoser Min Ha'Oseh, and therefore that Rice is telling us is not only when the person is actively involved in doing a mitzvah himself, but even someone who is allowing others to do mitzvahs through his activities, he too has that same din, that if the work that he is doing, it conflicts with other mitzvahs, then ho'oisik v'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. So we talk about the koisvisvam, those are the soifrim themselves. Then we talk about tagrayan. This is an interesting Rashi. Rashi says tagrayan, haloichem mehen, Rashi is on the third line from the top of the Amid, haloichem mehen, those that purchase the Svarim, the Tefillin, the Mezuzahs from the Sofrim. The Sofrim are scribes. They write them. However, they're not in business. So therefore, they hand over all of their inventory to the local Svarim store or the local Tefillin seller or salesman. Kedei limkor ulaham tziyam letzorach lehem. The reason why these Tagreim are in this business is kedei, so that limkor, to be able to sell, ulaham tziyam, to be able to supply, letzorach lehem, those people that need these goods, those people. So the interesting, the Mogen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch is medayik from this Rashi that the only tagorim that are potter from doing mitzvahs, from doing other mitzvahs, that's only those that are doing it totally l'shem shemayim. The reason why they're in this business is kedei limkor ulham tzion letzorach lehem. However, if the reason why they are selling Svarim, Tilim, Mezuzos is to make parnasa. Everybody needs to make parnasa. Everybody has to make a livelihood. It goes without saying. But if that's their principal reason for being in this business, to make money, then this patur doesn't apply, because it's no different than being in any business. You can be you can go and sell groceries. You can go and sell widgets. Go and be in any line of work. So that doesn't give you a patur from doing mitzvahs. It's only an oisik v'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. If his whole reason is kedei limkor l'hamtzion l'tzorach lehem, that's a different story, then he gets a p'tur. Again, in all of these cases, the p'tur is only if it interferes with being mekayim another mitzvah. If it doesn't interfere, then there is no p'tur whatsoever. So, hen v'tagreim v'tagre tagreim. Tagre tagreim presumably means you have tagorim, presumably are the wholesalers. Tagre tagreim presumably are the retailers. Anybody that's busy with Melechem Shemayim, such as those that sell tcheles. When you see the word tcheles in the Gemara, it often refers to tzitzis, and that's what Rashi says here on the fourth line, to tzitzis. So what about all these people? They are part of a krishma or menatvila or menatvila mekal mitzvah amur batoira lekayim divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili, to fulfill what Rabbi Yosi Aglili said. Rabbi Yosi Aglili oimer ha'osig b'mitzvah potter min ha'mitzvah. All of these people are osig b'mitzvah and they're potter on another mitzvah. Tana Rabban hol chaydrachim b'yoyim p'tur min ha'sukkah b'yoyim b'chayavim b'layla. Now we're going off a little bit from the osig b'mitzvah to other people that have conflicts. So it says in the Braisa, holchi drachem, a person who is traveling, and particularly we're talking during Chol HaMoed, because if it's on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, why are you traveling? So it's Chol HaMoed, and the person is traveling from one place to the other. Now, why is he traveling? Rashi says, because even though you're not allowed to go and do major business on Chol HaMoed, but as you know, you are allowed to do Melechas Dover HaOved, things that have to be done now, or otherwise it could be a loss or a liability. So this person is traveling, says Rashi, for Schoira, from one place to the other. He's a salesman, he's going and selling fruits and vegetables. If he doesn't go now on Chol HaMoed, by the time Yom Tov is over, half of them may have rotten. Maybe all of them will rot. So therefore he's allowed to go and travel, but as a result of the fact that he's traveling during the day, he is busy. So holchei drachem b'yoyim peturim in a sukkah b'yoyim, whilst he's busy traveling, he's off the hook, he doesn't have to eat in a sukkah, v'chayam b'layla, but at night he is mechuyev. And the other way around, holchei drachem b'layla, someone who's traveling at night, peturim in a sukkah b'layla, v'chayam b'yoyim. Because whenever you have time, and it doesn't interfere with what you're doing, you're mechuyev. And holchei drachem b'yoyim u'balayla, peturim min ha'sukkah bein b'yoyim u'vein b'layla. Now, let's understand what's going on over here. Until now, we were talking about oisig b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. And you remember the Gemara learned this yesterday from two different limudim. One from the shivtach of Eisach of Lech Techov HaDerech, and the other one from the case of those that were, unfortunately, tmei mes, and couldn't bring the Pesach Rishon. Oisig b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. We're not talking about oisig b'mitzvah. Here we're talking about a person who's just traveling normally. So, what's the p'tur min ha'sukkah? So Rashi says here, and this is based on the Gemara a little bit further down, that it says in the Pasuk, Teishvu, and the Gemara learns, Teishvu came to Duru. Teishvu came to Duru means that the inyan of Sukkot is, you're supposed to continue living your life as normal, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't do your normal eating, drinking, and sleeping activities in your home. Do those activities in a Sukkot. But otherwise, business and your normal lifestyle continues as usual. See, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is fourth, fifth line from the top of the Yomit. Holchi drachem b'yom petur min ha'sukkah b'yom dechsiv. First narrow line. Basukah is teish v'shumas yomim. Says the Gemara, ki'en yeshivas beisoy. You're supposed to go and live inside your sukkah like you live in your home. Kishem shekol hashana ein nimnam milechas b'derech b'schoira. Just because we all own homes or apartments, or we lease apartments, makes no difference. That doesn't stop us from traveling from here to D.C. if we need to, or to Florida, or to Eretz Yisrael, or wherever you have to go. The Torah doesn't require you to stay at home or to sit in the sukkah 24 hours. You can continue your normal lifestyle. And therefore, you are allowed to go and during the yoyim, if you're holchi drachem b'yoyim, you're off the hook during the yoyim. The Reb Moshe in the Igros Moshe is medayik from this Rashi, that Rashi only talks about ein nimna milechas baderech b'schoira. That if you are traveling to do business, and the type of business which you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, lechas dover ovei, then you're allowed to go and travel. What happens to those people that want to go and travel on Chol HaMoed? Because they want to have entertainment. They want to go and travel from here, Echvais, to Wyoming, because there's an interesting Disney park that's opening up, or whatever. This is a Moshe, then you don't have any heter of being off the hook for a sukkah, because the whole Indian of Teishvu Kei Tedura means that you're going for a schoira like you normally do throughout the year. You want to take a special vacation? Fine. But go and structure the vacation in such a way that it does not interfere with your ability to be able to eat in the sukkah, b'yoyim u'balayim. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara, this is all talking about holchei drachim, that the people are going for business, for dvar harishus. But now let's go and talk about those people that are doing the dvar mitzvah. Hoichlin the dvar mitzvah, says the Gemara, holchei dvar mitzvah, v'turim bein b'yoyim bein b'layim. If you're going for dvar mitzvah, like we had back in the Mishnah yesterday, that shluchei mitzvah are potter min asukkah, and therefore they are potter 24 hours. But again, like we learned yesterday, but the tzedavka, where he has doing the dvar mitzvah interferes or conflicts with living in the sukkah, because as the Tosfos and as the Mefarshim say frequently, Baruch Hashem, all of us, most of us wear tzitzis every day, and if we're wearing tzitzis, oh, I'm oisiv a mitzvah, I'm in mekayim a mitzvah. Does that mean that I don't have to do any other mitzvah? Of course not. It doesn't conflict with the performance of any other mitzvah. So here too, if you hold on to our mitzvah and it interferes with a mitzvah, then oisi mitzvah potter in a mitzvah. But if you can go and schedule in such a way that it doesn't interfere, then avada you're mechuyev to go and sit in the sukkah like everybody else. So the more kedar of chizav rabba ravuna kavi aile b'shabbat the regal of beirish kalusa, they would go for the Shabbos haregel. Shabbos HaRegel presumably means like Shabbos Chol HaMoed or something like that. They would go to visit the Reish Kalusa. Have a goni araksa desura. Now, why were they going to the Reish Kalusa? Because they wanted to be mekabel pnei rabam beregel. The Reish Kalusa was considered to be like, if you will, the Godel Hadar. And everybody went to go and show their allegiance to the Reish Kalusa. People would go and visit to mekabel pnei rabam beregel. So, when they were traveling, they didn't have sukkahs wherever they were going, so at some point Havagonu, they had to go and sleep. Araksa desura. Araksa means on the Sfas HaNohar, says Rashi. On the Sura apparently had a river flowing next to it, or in it, or through it, and therefore they would go and sleep at night. They would rest on the banks of the river of Sura. Amen. They said, Anan Shluchim Mitzvah, Anan Upturim. We're Shluchim Mitzvah because we're going to be Mekav Pnei Rabbi, and therefore we are potter in a sukkah. That's why we don't have to sleep in a sukkah. We can sleep out in the open on the side of the river. Tanur Rabban, what about Shomri Ir? These are security guards, people that are Shomrim. That's their job, to make sure that you don't have any infiltrators, any terrorists. So Shomri Ir b'yoyim, if their job is, you know, they have a 9-to-5 job, they work during the day, then p'turim in a sukkah b'yoyim, v'chayim b'layim, but when they get home, then they have to go to the sukkah. Shomri Ir b'layla, if their job is at night, p'turim in a sukkah b'layla, v'chayim b'yoyim. Shomri Ir ben b'yoyim v'ayim b'layla, if this is a 24-hour job, then p'turim in a sukkah b'yoyim v'ayim b'layla. Similarly, Shomri Ganesh and Pradesim, people that go and watch over a gina, that would be over a garden, or a pardes, or an orchard. Why are they watching? They're watching there both against Ganovim, against thieves, as well as against behemoth v'chayos, that behemoth and chayos may come to go and start nibbling and eating all the fruit and all the rest. So they're the shomer. It's betun be'yem v'layla, because their job is a 24-hour job. They stay out there in the fields to go and watch, make sure everything is okay, and therefore they're potter. Since they're out 24 hours out in the fields, let them build a sukkah and stay in that sukkah. Why should they be potter in a sukkah? By Omar, teishvu ke'en teduru. What does that have to do with anything? So Rashi says a very interesting swara. Rashi is about a quarter down the omud. Rashi says, ke'en teduru. Just like you live at home throughout the year, the Torah says, these 7 days, leave your dira, leave your apartment, leave your house, and instead, stay in the sukkah. Now, if you are using the sukkah as the replacement for the home, then you have to have in mitoisav, with your beds, ukle tashmishoy, your cutlery, your crockery, umatza oisav, and your mats, and in other words, the things that you're normally accustomed to at home. V'zeini yochel avien shomim ne'atoyrech. If you have your sukkah in your backyard, in your chotzer, then it's relatively easy to go and move in a folding table or two and a bunch of chairs and etc., etc. However, if you're talking about out in the fields, what is he going to go and do? He's going to go and furnish a whole sukkah, and schlepping back and forth, all the things. And remember, they didn't have plastic plates and plastic cutlery in those days, so it was a big, big tircha each time schlepping out to the sukkah with all of your items. And so therefore the Torah says, you know, since you have to live like you live at home, and you live at home in relative comfort, so when you live in the sukkah, it's all to relative comfort. Like we had before, mitztayer, potum, and a sukkah. Here's not how it's mitztayer, but it's a din of teshuken to dur. That's a bias for it. Rav Amar, pirtzakur leganav. Pirtzakur leganav means, it's an expression, that if you have, let's say, a wall around a city, or around a house, and then there happens to be a pirtza, an opening, it's as if that opening is calling out and saying, ganav, come on in, there's plenty of room here, that's why there's a break in the wall for guys like you, to come on in. So what does he mean to say? Same thing is, the benefit of having a shomer in your paradise is so that when either ganavim or whether the animals are coming, you're going to be there to ward them off, to send them away. However, if you happen to be cooped up in your sukkah, then the ganav thinks to himself, I'm going to go and watch this person's activities. I see that every night he goes into the sukkah between 8 and 12 or whatever it is. That would be the perfect time that I'm going to go into the Gina and Pardis and go and steal some of the produce. And therefore, it's not a good idea to go and set up a sukkah because people will take advantage of that sukkah and say, I know now the proper time, the appropriate time to be able to go and steal whatever I want. That's the expression he appeared to carry the gun. Praytimar, both answers seem to be very good reasons. My benayu, is there enough kamina between the two? Yes, the kaminter carry the peri. This shoimer is not watching the entire field. He's only watching a kri. A kri means a heap of peris. For instance, they've just done the harvest and they put all of the grain or all of the fruits on one large pile. And then in a week from now, somebody's going to come and bundle it and cart it off and take it to the market, etc. So in the meantime, they want somebody to watch all of the produce to make sure that nothing is stolen. Since it happens to be a finite place, this mound of fruit, where the person is, he can go and build his sukkah facing. Remember, in those days, most of the sukkahs were only three-walled sukkahs, not like most of our sukkahs today where we have four walls. So he had three walls. So let the opening of the sukkah be directly opposite this kree, so that all times, any thief that comes to the kree to go and steal peiros, guess what? He'll be watching. He'll be there. So the reason is because of teishu ki'ein toduru, that we don't want to be matriach, the person to go and bring out his tables and his chairs and his furniture and his pots and pans and his food items and his crockery and his cutlery and da da out to the sukkah. Okay, so that applies regardless whether it's a kree that he is watching or whether he is watching the field generally. So the teishu ki'ein toduru will tell us that he's potam in a sukkah. However, because of the reason appeared to occur, the ganav, that wouldn't apply over here because since he has a very limited job watching this particular kree, fine, let him build the sukkah right next to the kree and watch the kree the whole day against any ganav. Okay, so that was the first part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah yesterday was cholim u'mishamshehem. Those people, unfortunately, that are sick, and their aides and nurses and doctors, etc., they're all potam in a sukkah. It's Tanur Abba. We're not talking about Bikuch Nefesh. Bikuch Nefesh is Toicha, every din in the Torah, with the exception of the three big cardinal sins, Yehorig Val Yavar. So here we're talking about Stam Achoyle. He has a problem with his eyes. He has a terrible headache. I was in Kisri and I had a problem with my eyes. I had some sort of irritation there. And he was matter me to go and sleep outside the sukkah because I had this eye irritation, eye problem. What is the reason for this? Our Gemara doesn't say, but the Mefarshim say it's again based on Teishu Ke'en Tadur. What happens if a person has a headache or an eye ache or a problem with his leg, a problem with this, that, or the other thing? So, if he can go and stay at home, fine, that's great. What happens if the person is feels so helpless, or he really feels that he needs a refuah, even though it's only one leg or one arm or one this or one that, sometimes people go to rehab, as everybody knows. So, does anybody prohibit you from going to rehab? No, quite to the contrary. You feel that that's what you need to rebuild yourself and to get back into good health. So the Gemara is telling us is, if during the week of Sukkot you feel that you have to go to rehab because of a headache or because of an ache in your eye, this, that, or the other thing, then you don't have to stay in your home, which Sukkot time, the home being the Sukkah, but rather you can go and go elsewhere if you feel that you'll be more comfortable, if you feel you'll have a better refuah. If I stay at home, I know the headache will go away. So that's my rehab center during Sukkot. That's what some of them first learned. Some of them first learned that it's more an extension of the inyan and it's dire potim in the Sukkah. Going into the Sukkah and having this headache and having the ache in my eyes or my pains here or there, whatever, so that's it's difficult for me to go and concentrate on having a refuah and being in the Sukkah at the same time. Others say that since the whole inyan of Sukkot is l'man yedu dor yisechem kiva sukkah is v'shavtis b'nei Yisrael, you can only really appreciate being in a Sukkah if you're in good health. If you have headaches and you have nose aches and ear aches and eye aches and all the rest, you're really not focusing on the Sukkah, you're focusing on your own personal needs. Anyways, there are a whole bunch of mafarshim explaining why the person is patur min Sukkah. So again, says the Gemara, and Rav Shimon Gamliel said that he once asked Rav Yossi Beribi, whenever you see that in the Gemara, means that he was the Gadol, usually the Gadol Hador, and which Rav Yossi are we referring to? Says Rashi, we're referring to Rav Yossi ben Chalafta. Whenever you see Rav Yossi in the Mishnah Stam, sometimes it says Rav Yossi Haglili, that's a different person. But just as Rav Yossi Stam, it's Rav Yossi ben Chalafta, and in fact we find from time to time that Rav Yossi quotes his father and he says, Abba Chalafta Oymen, my father Chalafta said the following. Rav Shora L'Rav Acha Bardula L'Migna B'Kiltza B'Sukkah. Rav permitted Rav Acha Bardula to go and sleep within a kila within the Sukkah. Now we had about a week ago, a kila means a bed that has a canopy. And the specific canopy that we're talking about over here, says Rashi, is one that was on four poles, not just on two poles. So therefore, if it only has two poles, the Gemara called it before a kilas chasanim, and depending again whether it had a gag, didn't have a gag, whether it was kavoy asara, not asara, there was discussion in the Gemara whether you're allowed to go and sleep in such a kila in a sukkah. What's the shaila? Whether the height of the kila is such that it becomes an ohel on its own, and it's mafsik b'fnei, the larger ohel, the ohel of the sukkah. So Rashi says, we see Rashi halfway down, the Yomid Lamigna Mekiltza, the Alva Bishiyesh Lagag. We're talking about a kilta that had a roof. In other words, either it was spread out on four poles, so it was a real proper canopy, or even if on two poles, but it had a wide pole in the middle holding up the canopy, a wide beam holding up the canopy. Ukvayasara. It was 10 tvachim tall. If it has 10 tvachim tall, now it has the dimensions of a sukkah. Now the kila chutz l'sukkah, Rashi says sleeping in that kila is like sleeping outside the sukkah because it's mafsik b'fnei haschach b'fnei hasukkah. Now why was Rav Matit Rav Acha Bardel to sleep in that kila? Says Imar Mishum Baki. Rashi translates Baki to be tzintzlish, which is not very helpful for us that don't know Old French. The on the side there's a Mesoris Hashas. See, by Bucky, there's a, in my Gemara, there's a little Zion. Some of you others may have different letters, but the Masoris Hashas from Rav Shaya Pick says that what it means is Orach Pirish Shekein Koyden LePishpish BaArabi. In the Arabian countries, in the Arabic countries, they call it a Pishpish, while V'yesh Omrim Zvuvim Tanim. Zvuvim Tanim, we all know, means small little bugs. A pishpish would be something like a dead bug or a gnat, something that takes you away from being able to sleep properly. The art scroll translates it as mosquitoes. So, just sleeping in a bed inside the sukkah, then you don't want to fall victim to all the mosquitoes and all the bugs and all the gnats and the bed bugs. So therefore he had a kila on top. Somebody saying something? He had a kila.
Yes.
Yes. Robbie, you have a question.
Yeah, I find a contradiction here in the Gemara about the headache with the previous Gemara concerning the oval.
Yes.
You see, the headache has nothing to do with the sugar.
Right.
And the Tzar of Avelus also doesn't have anything to do with the sugar.
Right.
So when the Tzar is not from the sugar, he's high for sugar. If he has a headache, he will have a headache home, he will have a headache in the sugar. He should go to the sugar according to the criteria of the Gemara before. Somebody who has the shoulder lost a dear one is more mitzayer than a headache.
I hear you. The Gemara said yesterday about the Ovel, said the Gemara, Hocha iu hu de kometztar nafshe, it's self-imposed having this tzar, iboyle liyesuve daite, he should work on it that it shouldn't bother him. In other words, the fact that someone passed away, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu did. The fact that this preoccupies his mind, that he cannot go and focus on anything else, that's self-imposed. He should try to be miyasev that. That's derech ha'olam, people pass away, it's unfortunate, but I can't go and mourn for the rest of my life, because then otherwise you can never do anything for the rest of your life. So you have to try to put it out of your mind to the extent possible. Here in the case of a person who has a physical or a mental ailment, if he has a headache, of course he should go and take medicine. But what happens if he doesn't have medicine, or he took medicine and it didn't help, but he still has a headache? You can't drive the headache away by saying, okay, headache, come on, get out of the way because I have to go into the sukkah. By the case of an ovel, he can try to calm his nerves and his anguish that he's upset about someone passing away. Over here, there's really nothing you can do except wait it out or go to medical assistance and they'll give you antibiotics or whatever. But as long as you're still suffering from that headache, teishvu kein teduru, you don't have to go and sleep in the sukkah, or even the sukkah if it's only causing more damage and more problems because of the fact that you have the headache. Okay? Anyway, continuing back to the Gemara, so because of the buki, because of the mosquitoes, he said you can sleep in the sukkah within this kilo underneath the canopy. Rabbi Shorle Rav Acha Bar Ada Lemegne Bar Metalalta Mishum Sircho Di Gar Gishta. Rava permitted Rav Acha Bar Ada to go and sleep. Bar Metalalta means outside the sukkah because of Sircha. Sircha means a terrible stench. Di Gar Gishta. What exactly is Gar Gishta? Rashi says that the floor of the sukkah was made out of such a tar or a pitch or something that had a terrible stench. Rashi says karka levona. It's Rashi halfway down. Sircha de gargisha, karka levona, white earth, sheyutochen ba, you used to go and shmir with that, the chvai is for plaster, whatever, karkos, the sukkah, the floor of the sukkah, and it had a terrible, terrible stench, and your people couldn't, they just couldn't hold out. So he said, okay, like the Gemara said in another line, rov letami, the amarova, mitzdar, potem in the sukkah, if you have terrible tzar, not outside tzar, it's tzar as a result of the sukkah, then you put them in a sukkah. Freidim of Anan Tanan, Choyle Mishem Shein, Pturim in a sukkah. Choyle in Mitzta'er Loi. Our Mishnah's Mashu, that person who's a Choyle, he's sick. He needs medicine. He needs medical help. Even if it's a relatively minor ailment, it's a headache or a noseache or an earache, but he has to go to the doctor for that. That's why he has an aid. Mashenke Mitzta'er, okay, it bothers him, but he's not a Choyle. For our Mishnah's Mashu, Choyle is potter. Every more is a choyle in mitzdar loy. Every more amri choyle hu u misham shem beturim. Mitzdar hu potter misham shem loy. Says the Gemara, the reason why our Mishnah said choyle and didn't say mitzdar, because there's a difference between choyle and mitzdar. In the case of choyle, not only the choyle himself is potter, but even a misham shem a potter. In other words, the person who's sick and his aides. As we know, there are many people, particularly people as they become elderly, they have an aide that's with them all times, right? During the day, during the night, whatever. So that choyle needs a mishamish, and both of them are potim in a sukkah. Mashenkin, a person who's a mitzayer, he's potim in a sukkah. But the mishamishim, they say, okay, you know, he can't take the smell. I can take the smell. I'm going to sit in the sukkah, and the other person can go home. Right? Oichum achilas aroi chutz the sukkah. You eat achilas aroi outside the sukkah. The kam achilas aroi. What is considered to be achilas aroi? What is considered to be achilas kvah? what is mechayiv you to eat in the sukkah, what's not mechayiv you. Talk to Amar Rabbi Yosef, tarti oitlas bay, two or three eggs. We don't mean eggs literally, we mean the volume of two or three eggs. Two or three eggs, until two or three eggs you can still go outside the sukkah. Once it's more than that, then you already are required to sit in the sukkah. It's interesting, the Gemara use the expression tarti oitlas bay. Typically, the Gemara will ask, well, once you're saying that if you want to eat two bayim, you're patur min hasukkah. Ah, but that means three you're mechuyev, but here it says tarti oitlas bay. So you're going to say, no, you're patur even three eggs. So why we mention tarti? Well, why are we saying two or three? Tell me what the limit is. Is achilas aroi up to three? Then fine. Why say two or three? You could say one, two, or three. So the Mefarshim explained, this is another Gemara, where the Gemara says in Masechtas Eruvin that the sheer lechem for a sudas keva is a machloikis. What is the sheer of bread for a normal sudas keva for purposes of washing and benching and all the rest? The Gemara in Eruvin says it's the size of either three or four eggs. A machloikis. Three or four eggs. So then based on that, what our Gemara is telling us is that if you hold that three, that a bread that has the volume of three eggs is a sudas keva, then if you only eat two eggs volume, then it's a sudas aroi. On the other hand, if you happen to be of the view that it's only lechem that has four bayim volume, four eggs, then four eggs is already a sudas keva. Three would be a sudas aroi. So therefore the two or three which is mentioned in our Gemara means respectively. Those two amayroim, the one that holds three is a sudas keva, holds that two is a sudas aroi. The one that holds four is a sudas keva, holds that three is a sudas aroi. That's the pshat given by Reb Elezer Moshe Horovitz in back of the Gemara. You know, in the Gemara, in back of the Vilna Shasin, you have lots of these shorter, smaller pirushim. And one of them is Reb Elezer Moshe Horovitz, and that's his pshat, which l'chayra is very, very nice pshat. So anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so if you eat the volume of two or three eggs, you're patur min hasukkah. Omar Abaya, Vazim Nesagian, Sagile Le'inish Bahachi, says Abaya, two or three eggs, you know, there's some people that, you know, if they're not terribly, terribly hungry, and if they haven't, you know, fasted for the last 3 days, they ate a meal in the morning, and now it's lunchtime. For many people, two or three eggs, the volume is enough, and therefore that should be considered to be a sudas keva, not a sudas aroi, but a sudas keva. And therefore, Elam Arbaya, I'll tell you what the shear is, kiritoim bar beirav v'ayil l'kal, the amount that a Talmud eats before he rushes into the shear. So Rashi explains that kal, as you know, was at the time of usually the Yarchi Kala. Yarchi Kala is right before the Yom Tovim, when everybody got together to hear the drushes and the shiurim. So what happens if a person in the morning, right after davening, he wants to rush into the shiur, but he's afraid that this shiur may take a long time and he's going to get very hungry. So what does he do? He quickly puts something into his mouth and he eats and drinks and shall. In other words, like a people rushing into the daf, and right before that they make sure to eat quickly one or two cookies or a piece of cake and some schnapps or a coffee to tide them over until the end of the shir. So in other words, did you take from tikkun in the bismedish, you take something quickly to be able to gobble it down and not lose time, you get into the shir on time. So that's what Abaye is saying. Kiritom ba birad, the amount that is considered to be a sudas aroi in the chupatum and a sukkah is the amount that a Talmud would normally eat. Schnell, he puts something in his mouth, a small piece of cake, a small rogalach or whatever, and take a quick coffee, and by the colony rushes into the carpet. That's considered to be a nash, considered to be a roi, and not a sudas keva. So our Gemara doesn't tell us what the exact shiur is, but the one the Amud Beis tells us that according to Abaye, the shiur is basically that of a kibbeya. Kibbeya means the volume of one egg, and they bring the Gemara that we had at the end of Masechtas Yuma. The Gemara says in the pasuk mikol oichel asher ye ochel, and from that we learn that the amount that a person can eat at one time, the bas achas, is typically one egg. So therefore, that's what Abai is referring to. Less than and up to one egg is sudas aroi. More than that is a sudas kva. Tonarban. You're allowed to eat a nash outside the sukkah. Then you shame him the sukkah. But if you want to take just a drimmel, you just want to doze for 10 or 15 minutes for a short time, that you're not allowed to do michutz l'sukkah. Why not? My timer. It's very simple. When you're eating just a nash, you can theoretically control yourself and say, okay, I had enough, and I'm done. I'm going to eat more later on, but now I had enough. But when you go and doze, unless you have an alarm clock, then the person, instead of sleeping for 10 minutes, he might sleep for 2 hours. Shemir, maybe he's going to get into one of these deep sleeps. He wakes up and he realizes, oh no, I slept for the last 2 hours. I can't believe it. So therefore, that's why you cannot sleep a shinus aroi chutz l'sukkah. Omer Abaye el hadasani v'lun de b'risa. Yoshen odem shinus aroi b'tfilin. A person is allowed to go and take a drimmel. He's allowed to go and doze off a little bit when he's wearing tefillin. Avloi shinus kva, but not a shinus kva. The reason why you're not allowed to sleep shinus kva with your tefillin, says Rashi, shema yafiach ben, because he might let out some ears from down below, and that would be a bezoyin for the tefillin. So if you're just going to go and sleep shinus aroi, we're not afraid that that's going to happen. But if you're going to sleep a lengthy sleep, this may happen. So, based on what Ravashi said, you shouldn't allow him to go and sleep even for 2 minutes with his tefillin on, because the 2 minutes might become 2 hours. It's talking about that he asked his chaver, Yankel, do me a favor, I just want to go and doze off for 5 or 10 minutes, wake me up in 10 minutes from now. The person that you ask to be your shliach, to wake you up, he needs a shliach to wake him up. In other words, if the yankel is going to go and close his eyes for a couple of minutes, and he says, Beryl, do me a favor, wake me up in 5 or 10 minutes. What happens if Beryl dozes off for the next 2 hours? So Beryl needs Shmerel to go and wake him. So, arva avatar, in the double side, and then Shmerel will have to have somebody to wake him up. He goes and puts his head down between his knees in an uncomfortable position. So you don't have to worry about that he's going to sleep more than 5 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because this is so uncomfortable. If you lie down in a bed, on a floor, on a bench, whatever, then you might fall asleep for a while. If you just put your head down, you're not going to sleep that long. Rava Omar Ein Keva Lishina. Rava says it has nothing to do with what Ravashi said, Shem Yerodem. The reason why you're not allowed to go and sleep even a 5 minute doze outside the sukkah is because there is no kvias for sleeping. What it means is there's no kvias. Says Rashi, when it comes to eating, you have to eat a meal. If you just eat one potato chip, that's not going to do the trick. You got to eat a meal. Therefore, nash, you can go and control yourself. I'm only going to take one bag of potato chips. You know, what did Lay say? Can't eat just one. But just eat your nash and don't eat a full meal. Mashenki, when it comes to sleeping, it really depends on your need for sleep. There are some people that need that sleep badly, but they only need 15, 20 minutes. Some people have the custom that every day they go and kind of sleep for 15, 20 minutes, and then they wake up, I feel like a new man, I feel like I'm a new man. Even though you only slept 15 minutes. So sleep is the type of thing that even just gnashing some sleep could be a full-fledged sleep. It brings back the person's consciousness, the person can focus again, his mind is able to work, he's not just his eyes just glossing over the page, but he actually again understands what he's talking about or what he's reading because of the fact that he got some sleep. So therefore, there is no such thing as a shinas kva or shinas aroi. Every shina is whatever the person needs. Some people need the 10 minutes and some people need 10 hours. Therefore, all of that is prohibited outside the sukkah. Tony Chad, one brisa says, Yosha Adam Tfilin, Shina Saroi, Avaloi Shinas Kra. A person is allowed to doze while he's wearing his tfilin, but not sleep a Shinas Kra. The Tan Yirich, another brisa says, Ben Kebo, Ben Aroi. You're allowed to go and sleep with your tfilin, even if it's a full-fledged sleep of a few hours. But Tan Yirich, there's another brisa says, Loi Kebo, Veloi Aroi. You cannot sleep even for 5 minutes with your tfilin on. So we have three separate braises which seem to be soser one another. The first one says, Shinas Aroi, yes, but not Shinas Kva. The second one says you can sleep both Aroi and Kva. And the third one says, Loi Keva, Veloi Aroi. So make up your mind. So tomorrow, It's no machlokes. It's rather, it depends on the circumstances. Like kashim. Hadanokalu biyodei. If he's holding the tefillin in his hand, he shouldn't even sleep for 2 minutes. Because as we know, if you fall asleep and something is in your hand, it can easily fall down. For those of us that every once in a while fall asleep Friday night at Suda Shabbos, we may have been holding until then a fork, and all of a sudden the fork drops onto the plate, because the person momentarily fell asleep, but it falls down. So therefore, you cannot sleep at all if you're holding your tefillin in your hand, not even for a minute. If you're wearing it on your head. If you're wearing it on your head, then you're allowed to go and sleep briefly, 5-10 minutes, you're allowed to doze off, but don't sleep for the whole night or for a few hours because of Shema Yofiach. The third case where it says that you're allowed to go and sleep, even a Shinis Kva, it's not talking about that you're holding the tefillin or wearing the tefillin, but rather the tefillin are to your right or to your left on the bed or on the table or something, and you go and cover them over with a suder so that it's not the bizoyan, and then you can go to sleep because then you're not wearing it. And even if the person is Shem Yafiach, like the Rashi says and like the Gemara says elsewhere, you know, people during the night sometimes let out air, but if he's not wearing the tefillin and the tefillin is nicely covered over with a cover up, then that's fine. Even you can sleep a shinas kra. How do you define the term shinas arai? So we have machlokes. Tony Rambam Yecheskel kedei hiluch meya ama, the amount that it takes to go and walk 100 amas. Now 100 amas is approximately 200 feet. How much is 200 feet? A half a block, a block. In other words, a very, very short period of time. We're talking about perhaps a minute or two. A very relatively short period of time. That's Shinas Arai. Tana, Yehalchi, Yashim, Tfilin, Veroya, Keri. What happens if Chas V'Shalom, a person fell asleep with his tefillin, and at that time, Nebuch, he had an emission, and now he wakes up and he realizes, uh-oh, what happened? He should not take his tefillin off with his hand, but he should hold the tefillin biritzua, carrying it from the strap. In other words, normally when you take off your tefillin, you go and hold on to the box. Here you should not hold on to the box, you should hold on to the ritzua, the straps to which the tefillin boxes are attached. Tzitza means the tefillin box itself. Because since the person has had that emission, it's a bizoyin to hold the tefillin in your hand, at the very least. Go and wash yourself, clean it up. Okay, so that was unrelated to what we were talking about. But the reason why we brought this price is to bring a raya. You can go and sleep a temporary sleep. Or just like we said on the Amud Aleph, that the shear is 100 amis, which is approximately a city block. Maybe it takes a minute or two, something like that. A person should not sleep during the day more than the sleep of a sus, of a horse. Now, we don't mean that a horse sleeps during the day. What we mean is, when a horse goes to sleep, whether he sleeps during the day, whether he sleeps at night, typically what is his period of sleep? 60 breaths. The reason why the Gemara talks about the shinas asus having 60 breaths, because apparently the sus breathes much, much slower and much longer breaths than an individual. Because otherwise, let it just simply say, don't go and sleep 60 breaths. So we're talking about the 60 breaths of a horse, which are longer than 60 breaths of a person. Now the question is, what in fact is the shear of the 60 breaths of the horse? So that in fact is a big, big machloikis among the mafarshim, as to what the shear is. Some say as little as 3 1/3 minutes, and some say it's a half an hour, and some say it's even up to 3 hours. Big machloik is how long the 60 breaths of a horse is. Anyway, Omer Abaye, you shouldn't say the Mar. Mar is referring to Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Now, the reason why a person is not supposed to sleep during the day, says Rashi, is Mipnei Bittel Toyer. In other words, a person has a Seder, he's supposed to learn. He shouldn't waste his time sleeping when he's supposed to be learning. Rather, nights are designed for sleeping. Days are designed for working and learning. So at night, go to sleep, but during the day, go and learn or work or do what you got to do. As a Zok Yimar. Zok Yimar, Omer Rav, Oslishon, Yoyse Mishin, Sosa. How much is that? So the Yimar says 60. Nishmi, Omer Abai. Shouldn't say the Mar. Mar is referring to Rav Bar Nachmeni. His Shina was Kidarav. He slept during the day as much as Rav used to sleep. In other words, he learned from Rav. Udrav Kidarabi. Rav learned his amount, his volume of sleep from his Rebbe, from Rebbe. Udrebbe, he learned from David HaMelech. And of course, Rebbe didn't learn directly from David HaMelech, but he had a Masoira as to what David HaMelech's sleep was. Rashi says, Kach kibel me avoisov. This he had a Kabbalah from his avois. How long did David HaMelech sleep? Or the David can associate. Associate Shita Nishmi, like we said until now, the 60 breaths of a horse. Abai used to go and sleep the amount of time that it takes to sleep when you're traveling from Pumbadisla Beikuvi. Now, what's the amount of travel? Rashi says that elsewhere, Mafarish Mokam Acher, Tavashita Parsi. It's the amount that it takes to go and travel 6 parsois. Now notice Rashi says to Mefarish, I'm looking at the Rashi 4 or 5 lines into the narrow lines, about 8 or 9 lines from the top of the Amud. Rashi says, to Mefarish Mokamacher, elsewhere it's explained to have a Shita Parsi that it's 6 parsois. Where's that elsewhere? So we have a gimel of the Mesoris Hashas, and Mesoris Hashas, Lo'eda Mekoyman. I don't know. I haven't found it. I don't know where that is. And then there's also an asterisk of the Gilyan Hashas, which brings the Tshuvas Noida Behuda that also focus on this, that really we don't find anywhere else what the shear is of travel from Papadis and Bekuvi. So apparently Rashi somewhere had another Gemara that we no longer have that somehow fell out. Maybe it was censored. Anyway, we don't have that other Gemara. How long does it take Shita Parsi? So this Rashi is L'choyre Bissel Shver, because Shita Parsi is a very, very long period of time. A Parsi, as you know, is 4 mil. The Gemara elsewhere says that it takes usually the average person 18 minutes to walk a mil. Okay, if 1 mil is 18 minutes, 4 mil, meaning one Parsi, is 72 minutes. 72 minutes is obviously an hour and 12 minutes. Here we're talking about 6 parsois. So 6 times an hour and 12 minutes gets you 6 hours plus another 72 minutes, which means 7 hours and 12 minutes. It's hard to believe that Abaya would go and sleep every day 7 hours, or even occasionally 7 hours. So perhaps again there may be a problem with the gears in this Rashi. The gears in the Rashi are anyway problematic because it's in Mefarish from Mokam Acher. So the Mefarshim asked, it's not my kash. The Mefarshim asked the Choyz Hashver Rashi to go and say that Abaya slept 7 hours. But anyway, the Gemara continues on. Kari later, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said about Abaya, and Mosei Otzel Tishkav, Mosei Tokum Mishnoscha, or Mishnosecha. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. And that Rav Yosef is kind of chiding Abaya and say, Abaya, you're an Otzel, you're a lazy guy. How long are you going to keep on sleeping? Come on, get up already. It's a bit of tired, you gotta learn. Turn about, next price. A person who wants to go and sleep during the day. Now remember, we only wear our tefillin at Shachris in the morning. However, during the times of Chazal, most people wore the tefillin the entire day. So therefore it says in the price, if a person had to go and sleep during the day, if he wants to, he can take the tefillin off, or he can leave the tefillin on his head. Rashi says, number one, we're expecting that he's not going to fall into a deep sleep. But even more than that, the focus of this brice is going to be, do I have to be concerned that if he's wearing his tefillin, that he might come to be meshamesh mita, to go and live with his wife. And of course, it would be a bizoyan for the tefillin, for a man to be living with his wife whilst he's wearing the tefillin. So since during the yoin, people are typically not meshamesh mita, and people don't normally sleep a shinas keva, they only sleep a shinas aroi, says the braisa, you can leave your tefillin on. Rotz choylet, you want to take him off? Fine. Rotz meniach, you want to leave him on? Fine. But like at night, choylet zvein meniach, no, take them off. Now, although we paskin that there is no mitzvah of tefillin at night, there is no chiv to remove it at night, meaning if you are one of those chosen few that wear your tefillin the entire day. You don't have to, when it comes shkia, okay, let me rush, let me take my tefillin off. Wear it at night too. There's no isur in wearing the tefillin at night. So Belayla says here, choylet, take, if you're going to go to sleep, and nichlas lishin, you're about to go to sleep, choylet, take the tefillin off, ve'ein meniach, and don't put them on at that time, and don't leave them on at that time. The reason is, like Rashi explains, because at night a person might come to be mishamish mita, and as well as, even if he decides he only wants to go and sleep for 5 or 10 minutes, and he's going to doze off, oh, guess what happens? That dozing at night may turn out to be for several hours, and then we have the problem of Shema Yafiach, like we had on the Omer Aleph. Shema Yafiach, he might have ears down below. He might let out ears. Okay, so by Balayla Choles Vein Manich, Divir Ab Nasim, Rabbi Yossi Oymer, Hayilodim Le'olim Choltsin Vein Manichan. When you talk about Yilodim, Yilodim doesn't mean children, it means, says Rashi, Bachurim, like teenage boys. Young bachrim, hayilodim la'olam chaltzin, they should always take off their tefillin when they go to doze, even during the day. Ve'ena minichan, and don't put them on, and don't leave them on. They should regim lebetumah, because unfortunately a bachur, as we know, since he is not married, he might see an emission. He might become a balkeri, and that would be a bezoyim for the tefillin. He's wearing the tefillin when he has an emission. So you're going to sleep, take your tefillin off. Are you telling me the Balkari is not allowed to go and wear tefillin? Now we don't mean a Balkari, the person who has Keri on his body. We mean the person who saw Keri and has not gone to the mikveh. Are you telling me that he's not allowed to wear tefillin? Amar Abaye says, the Yelodim that we're talking about is not like we thought, Bachurim, unmarried, but Yelodim means young married, like a young Yungalite who have gotten married recently, when it should say Nimoim that they are still very close to their wives at all times, Askinan, Shemiyavoy Lide Herkel Dover, because even during the day, if you have newly married, so they might have a grace of taiva to Mishamish Mita even during the Yoim, they'll go and close all the lights, etc. And it might come Lide Herkel Dover. Herkel Dover is a nice way of saying they might come Lide Tashmish, and therefore they should not even doze during the day, because if they're married, their wives are there, you might get into problems. Turn our bottom learned the Braisa, Shochach, Vishimish Mitosim the Tfilin. If a person forgot and he was wearing his tefillin, he was Mishamish Mita. It's hard to believe that this something like this would occur. But remember, we're not accustomed to wearing tefillin other than during davening. But a person who wears his tefillin the whole day, he can be forgetful and not remember that he has his tefillin on, he lives with his wife. Anyway, Ein Oichis, so now the Tashmish Mita is over, and as a result, now he realizes, uh-oh, I gotta clean up, and I have my tefillin on his head. Here it's even more chomer than the previous case. Before we just talked about he became a balkeri. Here we're talking about he lived with his wife. So then, he should not either hold on to the ritzua, to the straps, not to the ktitza, not to the boxes, until first he washes his hands, the yitlim, and then he should remove the tefillin, and they should die. As Kony is saying, as a result of the fact that he was living with his wife, his hands were askonios, they were moving around, and says Rashi, Shemen nogoy b'mokim hatinoifis, might have touched an area of the body which is soiled, is dirty. Some of Farshim say what Rashi means to say, what the Gemara means to say is, that a result of the fact that he let out Keri as a result of the Tashmish, so now post-Tashmish, he may have touched that Keri. So therefore the hands are now, have the tenoifis on their hands, and therefore we're not talking now about the inyan of Tvilas Ezra, whether you should go to the mikveh, not go to the mikveh, but we're talking about don't take the tefillin in your hands now until you first wash your hands and remove any tenoifis, any Keri, any dirt from them. Okay, Zog to Mishnah. Very short Mishnah, Gemara. We've had this Mishnah already before. Remember the previous Mishnah we said that a person who ate achilas aroi, just a nash, not a real meal, is allowed to eat outside the sukkah. Nevertheless, our Mishnah brings a maisa that they brought Rabbi Yechman Zaka litimus atavshil. They wanted him to go and taste the tafshil to see whether it had enough salt, or too much salt, or too much pepper, or not enough sugar, or whatever. So they gave him to taste it on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed. And they gave him gamliel shnei koisvois, two dates, udli shel mayim, together with a dliya, a pail of water, to eat and to drink, The Omru, and they, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Gamliel, said to the Heviolon people, those waiters, those people that were bringing the food, Helam l'sukkah, go and bring them up to the sukkah, we're going to eat it inside the sukkah. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, this is l'chayda a masalistar, because just tasting the tavshil and just eating shtei koisvais and klishal maim, this is all considered to be b'derech aroi, and we said derech aroi is part of an asukkah. And here we're saying they said, come into the sukkah. So we'll see Mitchum and the Gemara momentarily that min hadin, it was not necessary, but they wanted to be machmir al atzma. We'll see that in another moment. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us, shnosolei Reb Tzadik, when they gave to Reb Tzadik to eat a piece of bread which was smaller than the shear of a kibbeah, not with a mappa, he took it in a handkerchief, and what the Gemara means to say, what the Mishnah means to say, took in a handkerchief, means that he did not wash his hands. As we know, when we eat bread, we always wash our hands. He did not wash his hands. He was eating a very small shear, less than a kibbeah. So therefore he took it with a handkerchief, and he ate of achloi, and he ate achloi chutz l'sukkah, he didn't go into the sukkah, v'leverach achrav, and he did not bench after it, because he felt he did not have a shiur. So therefore, there are three kulois that Reb Tzadik was noheg. Number one, he didn't wash, he held it with a mappa. Number two, he ate it outside the sukkah. And number three, he didn't bench. Good. We started off the Mishnah, that the prior Mishnah said that Achilas Aroi is Patim in a sukkah, and here we see that Rav Yochanan Zakkai said, just to be toim the tavshil, let's go in the sukkah. Vaytim ha-masa listar, l'chayr t'stira. Evdi machzir mechzav achitani. You have to add a few words. Vim ba, l'hachmer l'atzmoi, machmir. V'les v'mishum yoyhara. If a person wants to be machmer and say, even to go and taste the tavshil, person wants to suck a sucking candy, he says, I don't want to do it chutz l'sukkah, that's fine, go into the sukkah. But let's mishum yihara, it doesn't look like this person is being arrogant or pompous, but rather, that's a proper thing to do. A person wants to be machmer, gesundheit, go into the sukkah. And then the Mishnah continues on. And they said, helam l'sukkah, not that it was absolutely required, but they want to be machmer l'atzman, and therefore, no problem. Continues the Mishnah of the Gemara, Shinosolid Abtzadik, Oyko possibly Kabeya, the Tog Bamapa of Achle Chutzasukkah, Tleberach Acharov. Like we said at the end of the Mishnah. Why does the Gemara repeat this? Because the Gemara is now making a deal, an inference. It says that because they gave him less than a Kabeya, he ate it outside the Sukkah. Ha Kabeya, Boy Sukkah. Lechoyitz Mashma, that if he ate a Kabeya, then you do have to get into the Sukkah. The Chodesh Shver and Rav Yosef Abaye that we had earlier on in today's blot, back on Chavvav Omid Aleph, where they asked, what's the Achilas Aroi? And Rav Yosef said, you know, like two or three eggs. Two or three eggs? That's much more than one egg. And even Abaye said, the amount that a Bar Berav chaps and puts in his mouth quickly, he takes a quick eat and a quick drink, a quick piece of cake, a regular or whatever, before he runs into the shear, the kala. And we said before that that's the shear of a kibbeah. That's how Rashi learns Pshat in our Gemara over here. So that being the case, we're saying that according to Reb Tzadik, the reason why he ate outside the sukkah, because it was less than a kibbeah. But once he hit a kibbeah, you better be inside the sukkah. L'choira, that shver, Reb Tzadik is a tana in the Mishnah. And Rav Yosef says, and Achilas Aroi is even two or three bayim. And even Abaye, that's more machmer, says, even a beya you can go and eat outside the sukkah. Frank the Gemara, here we're saying that once you hit a kebeya, you better be inside the sukkah. Let me tell you, up to the Rav Yosef, the Abaya. Every bar now. Then we're both going to be netila ubracha loy ba'i. Ha kebeya ba'i netila ubracha. Remember, Rav Tzadik in our Mishnah is being featured for three kulas. Kula number one is he didn't wash until the sidayim. Kula number two, he ate outside the sukkah. And number three, he didn't go bench. What's the reason? Says the Mishnah, because he ate less than a kibbeah. Now what happens as a result of that less than kibbeah? Because of that, says our Gemara, maybe because of that you didn't need netilas yadayim. For netilas yadayim, maybe you have to have at least a kibbeah. And you don't have to go and make a benching after that. if once you eat a kebaya, then you make sure to go and wash your netilas yadayim and make sure that you go and bench. That's fine. Ha kebaya boi netilu bracha. But as far as sukkah is concerned, it could be that had he eaten, for instance, a kebaya, he would still, although he would wash his hands and he would bench, he would say, I'm still exempt from eating in the sukkah because I hold like abaya. That abaya holds that as long as you eat up to and including a kebaya, it's still achilas arai. So you have no right from the Mishnah because the pachas me kebaya me going on the other two kulois and not on the sukkah. As far as the sukkah is concerned, could be the Reb Tzadik held that you could eat outside the sukkah, even if you eat a full kebaya, even two, until you get to the shear of Reb Tzadik that we had before in the Gemara of two or three. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions, Rabbi Sai? Hearing none, Amitcha will continue tomorrow morning, bright and early, 8 o'clock. Have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha Rabba to all. And a full shleima to David's ankle. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kol tov, Hatzlacha.